Hello again, everybody, and welcome to Around Town. I'm your host, Ron Giordano. We have a very special show today. We have two guests with us, Kevin Longstreth from Lurie's Hospital, and Brock Larkin, who's a Huntley police officer, whose daughter is currently receiving treatment at Lurie's Hospital. And we thought we'd bring them all together today because there's an interesting story for all of the people that are here today. With Kevin, besides his work at Lurie's, he's also donating a kidney to a relative. With Brock, his daughter has cancer and she's being treated at Lurie's. So we thought we'd get this thing together and tell everybody about it so they could tell their stories. Kevin wants to talk about Lurie's and about what he's going to be doing, and Brock will be talking about his daughter and their GoFundMe page and what they'll be doing. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
Glad to
Kevin,
be here.
Would you like to start?
Absolutely. Thanks for having us. I love the connections you made and the fact that we can come together in our various ways and show support for each other, really, in everything we're doing. I know that the Lurie Children's, if anybody is not fully familiar, we have we serve a great deal of patients. 260,000 patients is the number we recorded for last year for
that's amazing.
For 2023. It's about 142 years old, so we've grown over those years quite a bit. We moved to our current location of the main hospital downtown at Chicago Michigan Avenue about 12 years ago. Before that, it was a smaller, yet still the biggest pediatric hospital in Illinois, which it currently is today. To wrap a pretty little bow around our mission, we use the acronym CARE. Clinical care, which is just achieving the best outcomes for the families that come into the hospital. Advocacy, which is championing efforts to help kids know about Lurie Children's, just being a champion for children's health care in general, as far as legislation, things like that, promotion, research. We take our things we learn at the bedside to the research bench, and then back to the bedside, right? So we have about 1,300 active research studies going on at our Children's Research Institute, and we hope that they all will lead to better care, in some cases cures for kids that need a specific kind of care because they're kids. And last is education, training, and developing the next generation of our pediatric healthcare workforce. And in that way, we are the pediatric teaching facility for Northwestern University, Feinberg School of Medicine, but we are still our own standalone children's hospital. But we are helping educate those future leaders at Lurie Children's. So we do a lot. We serve a lot of patients. We're the place that families come for that specialty care. Maybe that Brock, that's probably the reason why Brock is there with his family to receive those kinds of care that we often get referrals. Hey, this is serious enough. Go to Lurie, get the right care, and hopefully have some good outcomes.
And that leads us into Brock. Your daughter's been going to Lurie's.
Yep.
You want to tell us a little bit about your experience?
Yeah, so obviously just talking about Lurie's in general, Lurie's has been absolutely incredible. I have close friends that have had, you know, issues in the past with their kids and stuff. You know, one of my close friends, his daughter was in the NICU for 60 days or something like that.
Oh, wow.
And they were just taken care of beyond measure. So
the NICU's for newborns.
Right.
Right. Yep. So that's you know, you already have enough stress.
Exactly.
As with the newborn kid. I know about that.
And then trying to figure out, you know, how to stay down there with the baby and stuff like that. And, you know, go back. They handle so much and they take so much stress off the family, which is just incredible. And they've done the same for us, obviously. You know, even just something so simple, you know, Kai going through her treatments and stuff, you know, Lurie sends an in-home nurse to the house or to Kylan's school to draw her blood twice a week.
Well, I mean, she doesn't have to commute
right
all the way
to anywhere. It's incredible. So
I don't think people realize that there's this outpatient thing that goes on.
Correct.
Which you just explained.
Yeah.
That's something people aren't aware of.
We had no idea either. You know, we were thinking we're going to have to go to Lurie's for every single thing or maybe a closer hospital for a blood draw or something. But, I mean, they have a vehicle. Like, there was so basically this lady ended up coming. This nurse came to, I think, 8 different houses that afternoon. Ours was the last stop. Hmm. There was a guy who came up and pulled up in a van, took the sample, and then he drove to Lurie's. I mean, it's incredible. Like, because she was in and out of our house in 3 minutes. And she came, sat down, got her blood drawn, that was it. She's back to playing, everything's good. So, I mean, just that aspect is incredible. You know, and then obviously when we've been down there, we've had, you know, inpatient stays now. We've done an inpatient round. We've had outpatient rounds. And again, I can't say enough about both aspects. The inpatient, the nurses are just unbelievable. They're truly unbelievable. Same thing as outpatient. They know, like we were talking about earlier, they know that we don't want to be there for longer than we have to be, sure. You know? Neither does she. You know, Kai's like, hey, let's go knock this out. Like, I want to get back to school or sports or whatever it is. So just in that aspect, Lurie's has been unreal. So it's been as easy, I guess, of or helpful as it could possibly have been.
I might add, too, that Kai is a 13-year-old young lady.
Yep. She turned 13 February 1st.
And she's doing fine.
Yeah, she's doing as well as she can, if not better than I think we would have expected. I mean, hands down, you know, if she's the oldest of four, hands down the toughest human being that I've ever been around.
Right.
I mean, truly unbelievable.
Good for her.
Yeah.
Good for her.
Yeah.
And then we want to talk about Kevin, all the work that you do at Lurie's, but you're donating a kidney.
It's true.
Yourself.
It's true. I shared that with you because we have a history of talking about these matters. You helped educate me through your radio show when you brought on a Lurie patient and their experience with CODA. And it's just one of these many ways that connects patients for the care they need. That's not always the hospital. It's not always walking into a hospital. There's these disparate aspects of healthcare, like an outpatient blood test. How does that even happen? You know, these things that you don't think about that come up and that are needed. And so CODA, I was doing research from our show, learned a lot about the organ transplant process. So when my nephew came to me a couple months ago and said, they're telling me to ask family members, I have this rare kidney disease, and it's one of these many rare diseases that don't get diagnosed, but they know people have a problem. And he doesn't know what it is, but he says, my kidneys are failing, man. Can you help? And I did check with my wife, and we got the green light to go ahead, because it's a team effort.
Of course.
All this stuff is
absolutely
a team effort.
Yeah.
You know, the kid's got to be brave, the patient's got to be brave, but the family's always involved.
Right.
And really, again, another piece of what I know from my work at Lurie is important. Bring the family in, get everybody's buy-in, get everybody either excited or accepting or willing to participate. And so, yeah, my family's cheering me on. They're cheering us both on. And it should be sometime this calendar year where we get it done. We found out that we're a blood type match. We're doing some further testing. And he lives in San Diego. So I said, well, gosh, I got to, you know, schedule a flight out there. They said, no, you can do it from a hospital here in Chicago. And it does not decrease the success rate at all.
Will this be done at Lurie's?
It will be done at Rush probably.
Okay. Wow.
That's amazing. It's you know, the things that you run across in life that happen to you, like you never expected your daughter to have this illness, Brock.
No, of course not. Mm. Yeah. You know, even when we first went there, you know, we still didn't expect this to be what it was, you know. And then when it kind of came to a head type thing and they were like, hey, we think this is what it is, it was completely blindsided.
So how did it all begin? What was happening to her that led you to want to take this thing a step further?
So she was actually diagnosed with a growth deficiency. So she just turned 13, obviously, and she's 4'5", maybe, like 65 pounds, and just pure intensity and grit human being, like from the time she was born. You know, I'm not the biggest person. Obviously, Kevin was blessed.
So you're saying your daughter
genetics?
I was not kick your butt. Is that right?
Yeah, I think so.
Mentally, maybe.
Right. Yes. Yeah. You know, so with that, so she was diagnosed with that, and they knew, you know, obviously that is an issue with the pituitary gland and things of that nature. So they were keeping an eye on that earlier last year. I want to say 23. You know, we had done other testing and there was no issues. They thought maybe there was a cyst or something, but it wasn't really a problem. So then it kind of came to a head in December of 23, obviously, right before Christmas, a couple weeks before, her and her younger sister both qualified for nationals for soccer. So we were down in Florida going down there. So we were actually driving down from Illinois down to Tampa, Florida. So we get to about North Florida area. And she had kind of been complaining about not feeling well. She wasn't eating very well, not drinking.
You're on the road.
And it was just, and we're in North Florida and I have no idea where to go. You know, we're trying to figure that out. And I'm like, oh, maybe she's dehydrated or something like that. So trying to give her water and stuff like that. She's somewhat going in and out of like consciousness or a cognitive state with me, just having a conversation. And I was like, all right, something's going on. Like, this isn't normal. Find the closest ER. So we stop en route to Tampa, North Florida, go to an ER, check her in there. Not the best experience of a hospital, but it was what it was, and it is what it is. So they end up giving her a bunch of fluids and sodium and stuff like that. They said her levels are a little bit off, but nothing crazy. You know, check in with the endocrinologist and everything when you get back. Ended up obviously coming back, going to Lurie's.
Right away, yeah.
100%. Yeah. So we go right away. They put her inpatient, and then from there, it was kind of just a couple of days of figuring out, you know, what's kind of going on. And then they ended up doing the MRI, found the mass, and then they knew before, which is, again, incredible about Lurie's and the doctors and staff they have. They knew what it was based off an MRI, and they didn't even need to do a
biopsy.
That's
amazing, isn't it?
It blew my mind, you know, and I guess even like the confidence to tell family members what it was. And again, that, you know, hey, this is the type, it's germinoma, it's very highly treatable, this is the route we're going to take. And I'm like, man, they haven't even done a biopsy. So for them to have the confidence, and I mean, it was incredible, because if it was something different,
sure,
and it was much worse, you know, medical stuff is scary. So it was pretty incredible. That aspect kind of blew my mind. And then they confirmed it through a biopsy and everything. And even that, I mean, Kai's sitting there, you know, 12 years old at the time, and they're explaining this stuff, and a neurosurgeon's explaining, we got to cut this small, you know, part of your hair and cut a small piece of your skull and go into your brain and grab this little thing. And, you know, like I was saying earlier, I was telling the doctors, well, why don't you just grab all of it? Like, why are we just grabbing a little piece?
Come on, right.
I'm like, grab that whole thing.
Right.
It's not supposed to be there. You just told me, so yeah. Get it all out.
Right.
And same thing. They were more so telling me that, you know, the treatment is highly effective. It's very sensitive to the chemo and the radiation, so that's the route that we want to take. And obviously, I'm no doctor, so whatever you tell me, I'm going ahead with. So much smarter than me.
So, you know, that leads us back to another reason why, like, Kevin is here to tell us more about Lurie's,
right,
and what they do in some of their programs, Kevin.
And I know that of those 1,300 research studies, 200 are coming through the Center for Cancer and Blood Disorders. So I've you know, we have our historically, our department head of the cancer center talks a lot about targeted therapy, making sure the therapies that cure the cancer, the blood disorder, whatever it is, have the least amount of impact on the kid. You know, the broader you go with treatment, the worse those side effects are.
Sure.
So if they can do targeted treatment, research is going to be the reason why we get to achieve those kinds of results, have that expertise. Like you said, the feeling of being in there and the confidence of a team to tell you, here's what you have, peace of mind a little bit.
Sure.
Not that, you know, you don't want to be told this news.
Right.
But it's maybe better than the mystery.
Yep.
Or you know, just worrying about something you don't know about. So
right.
Here's your diagnosis, here's the treatment, here's what we've, you know, every year we're improving that treatment to make the kids, to give them a better life. And we do focus a lot, and I'd be interested to know from your experience if you felt this. You know, some kids really check into the hospital and are there for months.
Sure.
You know, for years in some cases, right?
Yeah.
Some people are lucky enough to just come in for the day, pop back out, or inpatient for a week or two. All of that, if you're receiving that level of care, it's gonna affect your life.
Sure.
And a kid, you know, we have a school services team that helps kids. Hey, here's how you don't fall back on your schoolwork.
Right.
We want you to pass this year. We want you to be involved and be like a liaison between the school. So there are aspects that aren't just clinical care or research that we think are going to improve the lives of the kids or make, you know, minimize the damage, I guess, on
sure.
a kid's life.
Yeah.
Now, did you have, and I know you're asking the questions, Ron, but I'm curious.
No, that's fine. Go right ahead, Kevin.
If you had any, you know, of that, I mean, you're probably kind of a couple months into this
yep.
level of care.
Yeah.
But if it's something you worry about, there are those resources there. And I wonder if you know, you need to have this repeated care, is that something you worry about as a parent?
Yeah, I think initially, you know, especially for her, it was more so like, what is she worried about? You
mm-hmm.
know, because what she's worried about is different than what I'm worried about as well. So it's more so trying to keep her as positive mentally as we can. So I think for her, again, her life is school and sports. Primarily in that reverse order, sports and school, you know what I mean? So
sure.
That's all she does. Right. So for her, that was like her biggest concern. You know, am I going to fall back in sports? How is this going to affect this? Same thing then with school. Well, if I have to go inpatient for a week, am I going to fall back in school? And like you said, the school services, they've been awesome. We have used them as well. They've reached out to Dundee Middle School, which is where she goes, and nothing but beneficial for her, us. It's been awesome. You know, and I think same thing with the sports. There's been social workers that have come in, and they go and do their rounds and stuff and everything, and they're constantly just checking and same kind of thing. They never overstep. They come in, they're like, hey, can I help you with anything? And it's like, oh yeah, actually I did have a question. Awesome that you're here. Let me ask it. And then clarify that. Okay, I'll go run and do this. And then sometimes we don't even see them again, but everything gets taken care of. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's just such like a well-oiled machine. Mm-hmm. Whereas if anything comes up, at least from mine and my wife's aspect, per Kai or us, it gets taken care of almost immediately. So it's incredible.
Well, you know, if any parent out there is wondering about Lurie's and they have a situation with their children, I think this is a good story to tell, that you have no fears. You're going to an organization, you're going to a hospital that knows what they're doing.
Right.
They have the talent, they have the education,
yes,
they have the expertise. And it's a great story because you're living it with you and your family and your daughter.
Right.
And you're hearing it right from Lurie's, what they do, and you know that what they say is what they do.
Oh, completely.
So it's really great. And the education, you do a lot along those lines too, Kevin, with education, with the pediatric healthcare system.
That's true. Yeah, and you know, I think just on the idea of what we strive to do for families, you know, it's a big place serving hundreds of thousands of people.
Yep.
You know, yep. I would hope that everyone's story is in a positive vein. Nobody wants to go to Lurie Children's.
Yes,
but if
right.
you are there, we hope that we deliver that care. And I'm sure there's some exceptions out there. So I know that, you know, I spent about 4 hours in the Lurie Children's waiting room one time.
Sure.
And I was like looking at my watch, like, I got a 3-year-old here. Can we move this along, please?
Yep.
But I know that, you know, spreading the word about Lurie Children's and making sure that the community knows that there are all these aspects of care that not only affect the families in ways that insurance doesn't cover,
sure,
right?
Yep.
But also the staff and the workers and the research that we do to try to improve that care. You know, you're not always getting reimbursed for that.
Right.
So to cover that gap, you know, and to be the place we are, it takes the support of a community, and sometimes it's volunteers. You might have seen those people in the blue vests, walking around.
All over.
They're so sweet.
Yep,
it's about 1,500 people.
Yeah,
volunteer at Lurie Children's just to keep it the way it is.
Yep.
You know, handing out prizes, doing little therapies, doing just helping out families however they can, and that's just out of the goodness of their heart. You know, and
what does that tell you? 1,500 volunteers. You know, you have to be dedicated and you have to have heart to do that.
It's unbelievable. And they're, especially on that 18th floor, you know.
Absolutely.
They're over the top. You know, I like when we go into like the teen center or something with Kai, like they're like, oh, here's all these crafts. Like, take all these, take all this, like do all that. You know, there's just so much stuff. And it was through donations and just people with just huge hearts that, you know, help and just want to give to these kids.
And that's the key.
It's amazing.
You know, you have a GoFundMe page for your family.
Right.
Okay. But Lurie's also accepts donations because that helps keep them going too.
For sure.
So, you know, the donations work two ways. They're helping your family.
Yeah.
But they're also helping what's being done. And I know that Kevin works with a lot of organizations, a lot of different families with respect to donations.
Yeah.
You know, he'll meet with the folks. He'll talk to them. You know, he'll communicate with them because that's part of his job.
Sure.
Because it's all going towards Lurie's. But it's going towards something that's really worthwhile and has meaning to it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, like we were actually just talking, when Kevin first walked in here, I recognized him from something. And I was like, oh, man, I know this guy.
Now, being a police officer, it wasn't a mugshot.
Yeah,
right.
And it wasn't anything. Yeah, nothing local or anything.
But,
you know, and so when we were actually inpatient, obviously right before Christmas, you know, they do this bingo And they do it through the, you know, you tune into the TV and it's channel 101 or something, whatever it is. And, you know, and then all of a sudden Kevin was on there and that's what I recognized him from. So, and they do this bingo game and it was a body parts. And I'll probably never forget that because that was like at the beginning of all this.
Right, right.
You know, and I saw you and you had a green vest on. I could literally picture it to this day. and he's going around and people call him and he picks up the phone and like my daughter's trying to, and I'm sitting there, I'm trying to punch the number in because Kai hit bingo. And then it like, it's called waiting, call waiting. The nurse is like, keep going, Dad.
Right, don't stop.
So I keep calling. We got it all on video. I mean, it's crazy. So, and then she wins the Squishmallow, and it's like even something so small as that.
No, wait a minute. Wait a minute. The Squishmallow.
Oh, yeah.
People have to know what that is.
Okay, it's just a big circular, any type of animal, creature, something, and it's the, I feel like it's the most popular thing in the world right now. It's the most,
we get those on the prize shelf and they fly away.
Right.
So they're the gone. First to go. So she was probably dialing for dollars there.
Oh yeah. She knew what she wanted for sure. So, and again, even that, it's like, you know, whoever donated that stuff or Lori's provided that stuff and your time and all that stuff. So something so small, a bingo thing in the hospital that gets all these kids so jacked up and happy. It's again, it seems so minor, but I can't even explain like how excited my 13-year-old daughter was. You know, I mean, it's just unbelievable. That type of stuff is unbelievable.
Yeah, maybe she forgot that she was in a children's hospital.
I guarantee
for about 60 minutes. Yeah. You know, and maybe that Squishmallow is something that brought her joy after that.
Sure. Right.
Yeah.
And it's all distraction.
Oh, it's distraction. It's amazing.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
I know for the folks out there, everyone has favorite charities.
Right.
You know, I'm sure we all have one that we give to because of a family member or whatever. But if you want to pick an alternate for a backup, then I would say, think about Lurie's.
Oh, 100%.
Because what they're doing, they're saving lives.
Yeah.
You know, and they're saving children.
Yeah.
And they're making life of the parents that much happier. And what they're doing to make the children happier, like you said, when your daughter was there, you take her mind off it. It's not, she's not in the hospital, but she's having fun.
Yep.
With this squish pillow.
Yeah, right.
Squish mellow.
See, we're
squish
mellow, whatever.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, we'll get you one.
But
we're experts,
Kevin will probably bring one. Next time he comes on the air, he'll probably bring one with him.
Yeah. I would love that.
Yes. Right.
I would love to see your face.
But, well, in wrapping it all up, Kevin, with Lori's, I think I should share with the folks a few more things about that hospital.
Yeah, sure. You know, I think the waste, people often ask me, how can I help? And just like Lurie Children's tries to meet patients where they're at, I always try to meet supporters where they're at. You know, not everybody can go down weekly and spend time in the you know, 18th floor helping families out, but people can do one-off things. They can attend an event. They can do their own community fundraising, little lemonade stand, and we have like a kit for that and support on their website for those types of things. You can do, you know, just an outright donation. You can think about ways to, I mean, people have included their children in their estate plans. Really powerful gifts that family, that a school teacher, right? He can remain anonymous. His whole life, kind of saved up his money, millions of dollars. This school teacher gave to Lurie Children's, and he, you know, we name a place after him for that gift, and it's so powerful that people can get real creative with the ways they, you know, can give now, later, spend their time, and so a lot of those resources are available on the website. But I encourage anybody who wants to get involved to do it. And the one thing I'll say is that the reason why you see those volunteers walking around with those blue vests is because when they come in, when they do that volunteer shift, they get a reward. I know I do. When I do my show and see the joy in these kids' faces and the parents sort of thanking me or, you know, recognizing me in the hallways, you're the bingo guy.
Yeah,
like, that's awesome, right?
Yeah,
and so I think that it becomes rewarding to give, you know, and I see it all the time, and I see people being appreciative of the fact that they're giving, which is a very special thing.
Yeah,
absolutely. You know, normally we pause and I give station identification 101.5 FM, but I didn't want to today because I thought this story was so important for the both of you to get your message out and tell the folks about, you know, your daughter, Brock, and Kevin, what you're doing, and also your donation you're going to make to a family member, that I think it's important for people to hear that and know about it. Kevin, what about a website for Lurie's?
Yeah, you go to luriechildrens.org, luriechildrens.org, and you could also Google ways to give Lurie Children's, and there's a lot of different resources. I mean, the website tries to do a lot because it is where families go. These hundreds of thousands of families are going there to, you know, find out about their care, schedule appointments. But if you go LurieChildrens.org and look for ways to give, there's a lot of different ways to get involved.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much, Kevin. And Brock, we want to wish your daughter the very, very best in her recovery.
Yeah, thank you.
And Kevin, I know you're making a kidney donation, the very, very best to you.
Of course.
And what you're doing, and to Lori's and all the wonderful things they're doing there. We thank both of you gentlemen for being here today. And folks, you've been listening to 101.5 FM, your Huntley Community Radio station. Go to huntleycommunityradio.com, contact us, and you can hear the show. Thank you again for listening, folks.